Taiwan's election. I don't know if you've heard about this or not. Maybe you've been, waiting all week to find out. Mentioned a little bit of my thoughts in the cadence, the cadence of conflict column from Pacific Daily Times. So I'm not going to rehash any of that. You want to follow news in Asia, go over there. But Taiwan just reelected its president. And here's what was going on the ground. There was this populist. He was kind of a Ross Perot type of character. He was a bald guy. He chewed. It looked like anyway. He chewed the betel nut. Like his teeth were really kind of nasty. Betel. Imagine red colored chewing tobacco that stains your teeth red. Yeah, like it's really, really nasty. I mean, frankly, when he smiles, it's like seeing the voice of Sauron. You remember the Return of the King, Lord of the Rings, the last Lord of the Rings movie, when the guy with the mask over his eyes and the big long teeth come out, or he comes out and he negotiates and talks with Aragorn. Okay, and finally Aragorn cuts off his head. Yeah, that his name is the voice of Sauron, and Peter Jackson kind of invented, at least as a director, maybe with the help of others, what he looked like, because the book doesn't say what he looked like, but his weird, toothy, evil-looking smile. Han Goyu, this populist in Taiwan that I said about betel nut, like that's what his teeth kind of sort of look like gross and disgusting like that. He had a lot of issues, like he wouldn't show up for work. He'd like in a month, he worked 3 days as mayor of like, I live in a twin city. I live in Tainan, and he was recently elected mayor of Kaohsiung, which is like right next door. It's like an hour away. So it's like Minneapolis and St. Paul kind of, and only that one's a little bit bigger than mine. There's a greater and a lesser. Well, you could say like Grand Rapids and Lansing, but they're 90 minutes apart. These guys are like 45 minutes apart. It really are. They are kind of twin cities, but he was mayor there. The people have actually done recall election action against him. He's an idiot in a lot of ways, big time idiot in a lot of ways. But this guy was running for president. And one of the things he was saying is that, try to follow this. As far as the politics, the people that support China, the people that object to the protesters in Hong Kong, my uncle asked me, what in the world are they thinking? So this is usually how the rhetoric goes among the people and from the politicians. He would say that those protesters in Hong Kong, they're hurt, they're bleeding. They're losing their money. They're wasting their time. Why are we letting them protest? Why are we giving them these delusions that China is less than wonderful? China's a great, wonderful country. They should stop complaining so much. You can see the glass is half full or half empty. They don't see it as, they see it as mostly empty. There's so much to be, why do we let them stay ungrateful? Why do we let them keep fighting like this? That's kind of the message. Why, I've added a lot, but his point is like, they're hurt. Why do we, they should stop fighting. We should encourage them. It's these ideas that make them stop fighting. So I'm adding a lot to what he says, but that's the basic gist of it. They're hurting and, they don't need to be protesting. The protests need to stop. They got based on the idea that there's hope where they shouldn't have hope. There's not a need for hope because they've already got it good enough. China's wonderful. If China censors your speech and deletes your Facebook account and your Gmail account, well, that's wonderful because everything China does is wonderful. Don't believe that China's bad. And that's where they come from. I think a lot of the times they deny that there's a problem in Xinjiang. Yeah, it's really, I think one guy tried to tell me in Taiwan that the Uyghurs being killed or having their organs harvested or even being sent to re-education centers in Xinjiang is just a total lie. Or it's just maybe like 100 people, and that doesn't matter, because 100 people don't matter. That's kind of the attitude and sentiment, and that's what this idiot was campaigning on. And the issue is, the night before the election, I was with some friends, and I said, I predict a 15-point spread, 15 to 20-point spread. I think that Tsai Ing-wen is going to rank at least 57%, and Han Guoyu, the populist, this idiot, is going to be at below 45%, like maybe 42%. I think it's 57-42. Well, she won 58 and change, and he was 38% and change. So I think 42%, 43% of the polls were in, and I called it by a 20-point lead and gave her my congratulations. So I predicted yet another election accurately. Is that cool when you can predict accurately the elections in another country because you know what's going on? See, that's how I know that I know what Taiwanese politics are. Many people were worried that she would win by only 10%, yet even those people are angry that she lost by only, or that she won, that the other guy lost by only 18%, 20%. They think that him losing by 40% wasn't enough. Her supporters are very disturbed. I mean, this guy, Han Guoyu, he was such an idiot. He referred to the Vietnamese as prostitute. As I understand, he said, oh yeah, why do we let the Vietnamese come into our country? They're prostitutes. You know, now I need to go clarify what that was about, but a lot of people were really upset about the dark view that he had of Vietnamese. He didn't want Vietnamese in the country. He would say these random weird things. Anyhow, but a lot of it was populism that a lot of people really gave into. And it's disturbing to some of the population. A lot of them are older people who will be dying soon. Okay, all right. So Taiwan's election. The result, what's going to come out of this, she chose as her running mate, William Lai. Now, William Lai has an interesting history. He was the mayor of Tainan, where I live, for most of the time I've been here. What he did, he drained the swamp by not accepting corruption money. That's all he did. And he won re-election by 70% popularity. The most popular, it's called a mayor. It's a city. It's actually like the size of a county. They mistranslated a city. It should be governor of a province is what they should call it. He won his re-election, the most popular mayor of any mayor in Taiwan. After her initial election, she appointed him as the premier. It would have been about a year and a half, 2 years before he would have ended his tenure as mayor. All he did there was outlaw vape by saying that nicotine should be a drug substance. It should be guard, you know, under drug regulation. So he did that for the people, which was pretty irritating, and he didn't do anything else. That was all he did. And then he stepped down after they got stomped in the midterms. They have national elections here, and then they have local elections there. The local elections and national elections go back and forth in Taiwan. So this was a national election. The incumbent president and her party maintained control of the legislature, although they went down a little bit. They dipped a little bit. William Lai, this mayor I just described, he ran against her in the primaries. Typically, you don't run against the incumbent president in the primaries. This guy revolted and ran against her in the primaries, totally got skunked. Everyone hated him, yet she made him her running mate. It was brilliant. Really, really brilliant story. This guy's massive idiot, yet incredibly popular, yet incredibly hated. I don't know. One time there was a typhoon coming, or there was this massive thunderstorm coming, and then all the students said, why doesn't the mayor call off school in our city, because it's the mayor's decision, and he didn't, so everybody went to school, and then at 10 o'clock he said, it's too rainy, everybody go home, so they had to go home in the rain. He's like, why didn't you call it off before? He did a lot of dumb things, but he wasn't part of corruption. Ran against the president. Typically you lose your head for that, so to speak. But then she brought him back as her running mate, which I think was more about party unity. And frankly, well, if you want to know the icing on the cake, you got to go listen to the cadence for why it was utterly brilliant that she put him there. Taiwan's election is over. Taiwan's position is stronger. China's not going to be happy. We are headed to international conflict, and we're ready for it. And I think being ready is more important because conflicts come at any point. It's readiness that's up in the air. See you next week.